And appreciate the time to be with you this morning and to share. Let me start off, first of all, by sharing with you that, you know, we sang that song, The Love of God. You know, if every person was a scribe and the ocean was the ink, you would not be able to fill the entire sky and universe with the love of God. You know, there are billions and billions of people that would consider that a mockery. And if you look at the world, look at the suffering of the world. I've been to 61 countries, and let me tell you something. If you live in the United States of America, you've hit the jackpot lottery of life. You have no idea what poverty is if you have not been outside the United States. You've never been to Haiti, parts of Africa, Asia, India. The misery, the absolute misery that people live in. Think of killings. Think of the news. You're telling me there is a God? That's why people are atheists. All you need to do is look at the world. And they're going to say, there's no God. That's a bunch of hocus pocus baloney. Really, I'm telling you honestly. The reason people are interested in God is look at the suffering. In fact, they once asked the prime minister of Israel if Jesus Christ could be the Messiah. He said, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Jesus had nothing to do with being a Messiah. Because when the Messiah comes, the Jews say, he will bring peace on the whole world. He hasn't come yet. There's no peace. There's hate. There's war. Look at our government. Anger, deceit, evil. So the question is, why? Why? I was a pastor for 30 years, and the first funeral I ever did after 6 months of being a pastor was a 14-year-old boy in my church who got hit by a car and killed. I spent 6 weeks for 6 hours a day with his mother in absolute grief of losing her 14-year-old son. And she always said, why, Pastor Sam? Why did Scott Stiles, why did Scotty die? Why did he die? She literally held on to his casket. She refused to let him be buried. The whole time during the viewing, with all these hundreds of people coming, she never greeted anybody. All she did was weep and hold on to the coffin. This was the public viewing. I was recently visiting somebody from Grace Church that I pastored, and they were in a nursing home. And the lady said, Pastor Sam, why doesn't God just go through cancer clinics? Look at these children with cancer. Why did he just go in a cancer clinic and touch them and heal them? Isn't God able to do that? Why doesn't God do that? So, this didn't spur me on to this message, but for years I've been thinking about, you're a pastor for 30 years and you got a lot of whys. I'm going to tell you that. You got a lot of whys. I knew a pastor whose son-in-law died in a plane crash. And he literally had, why? Why? A plane crash. I mean, a commercial plane crash. This is back in the 80s. You see people who die of cancer, lingering long deaths. People suddenly die. Illnesses. Stillborns. Weeping. Why? Well, my answer was, for many years, not trying to be clever, was that I would say, I don't know the why, but I know the answer to the why, which is, where there is suffering, God gives us peace. Where there is sin, God gives us forgiveness. Where there is death, God gives us eternal life in Jesus Christ. In other words, God doesn't give us the answer to the why. He only gives us the solution to the reason for the why. And that's what I used to say to many people. I mean, why is there a sin? I don't know why there's sin. But I know there's forgiveness in Jesus Christ. I don't know why there is death. But I know there is eternal life in Jesus Christ. But only recently, in my studies, I came up with, I believe, is somewhat of a humble answer. So if I'm close to my notes this morning and it's a two-hour message, it's not a two-hour message. I humbly submit to you the biblical answer to why. I'm going to California on Tuesday for concerts for about 12 days of ministry, and I'm going to see my brother-in-law and my sister. They're atheists. They're Jewish, born Jewish. But Monty, my brother-in-law, I was there visiting them about 5-6 years ago, and he said to me once privately, because my sister got pretty upset that he asked me, he said, "Sam, why do you believe the Bible?" And I said, "Monty, do you know why there is death in the world? Why is there death in the world?" He said, "I don't know." "Do you know, Monty, what's going to happen to you when you die?" He said, "I don't know." "Do you know why there is disease in the world?" "I don't know." So I asked him all these basic questions about life, and he said, "I don't know." And I said, "The Bible answers every one of those questions. It explains to us why there is death, why there is sickness, why there is sin," which is true in the book of Genesis. Those questions, that's why I said I read the Bible. He answers, it explains the whole state of why the world is the way it is. So, you know, there's an organization called Answers in Genesis. Have you heard of it? By Ken Ham, very powerful ministry concerning creation. And he really believes that the answers to questions in life is found in the book of Genesis. And I agree with him. I agree. So, I want you, if you can for a moment, we're going to look for a moment, because I think the answer to the why, if I could say, is found in the book of Genesis. So here we are in Genesis. This is chapter 2. So God has made the world. Everything is good. He has made man in his image. And then God gives this instruction to Adam. "Then the Lord God took the man and put him," there's no Eve yet, by the way. "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it." So here is this lush garden that he has given to him. This is his task. He is now in communion with God. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it you shall surely die.'" These three verses, first of all, is a specific command. He commanded him that he had all these trees, all these nut trees, all these fruit trees, all these trees that he could eat and nourish himself. But there's this one tree that he should not eat from, because it is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because there are consequences if you eat from this tree. There are consequences. He never used this whole concept of consequences until this verse. He said, "Be fruitful and multiply." He has the woman. He had, "There are two, shall be one. Man shall leave his father and mother, keep to his wife." All this, the rest of Genesis chapter 2, etc., etc. But this he's saying to him, "Look, I just want to tell you something. It's not complicated. It's not above your pay grade. But don't touch this tree. Don't eat from this tree, because there are consequences. For in the day that you eat from it, you shall surely die." Now, it's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So the question is, everything that God did was good. The first day it was good. The second day, good, good, good. And he rested, and everything, it was very good. In fact, at the end, that's what the word says at the very end of the creation. It was very good. So what is evil? So evil, as we were to look at it, really comes from in theology, came from a rebellion known as the fall of the angels. Now, we don't have it documented. In fact, some people think that between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, where God made the world, but the earth was formless and void, that there was this thing called the fall of the angels. Now, there are two passages that theologians for hundreds of years have believed this is somewhat of a description of the rebellion of the angels. This is in Isaiah chapter 14, and he's speaking here, as a lot of prophecies, he's speaking to the king of Babylon, but like a lot of prophecies, it has a word in the present, but a word that was prophetic. So let's just read it. How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning. By the way, son of the dawn is where we get the word Lucifer. Have you heard the word Lucifer? That's where it's from. You have been cut down to the earth. You have weakened the nations. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. So theologians believe that this is the archangel, Lucifer, who wanted to usurp God's authority and ascend to be like God himself. Notice he says, how I want to ascend up. I want to be like the Most High. Nevertheless, this is the word, the prophecy, God speaking, you will be thrust down into hell, into Sheol, to the recesses of the pit. The other passage is Ezekiel 28. Here the prophet Ezekiel is speaking to the king of Tyre and Sidon. But again, even though he's speaking to this king, it's this prophetic view about the fall of the angels. Again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you had a seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden. Now you see, the king of Tyre was not in Eden. Okay. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The ruby, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the lapis lazuli, the turquoise, the emerald, the gold, the workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. You were the anointed angel, the anointed cherub who covers, and I placed you over. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. Unrighteousness was found in you. That's evil. Whatever is not good, which is righteous, is unrighteous. Until unrighteousness was found. Now listen to the wording here. But the abundance of your trade, you were internally filled with violence, and you sinned. Sin was evil. Therefore, I have cast you as profane. Profane is the opposite of the sacred. It is evil from the mountain of God. And I have destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted. Corruption is the opposite of beauty. It is evil. Your wisdom by reason of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I put you before kings that they may see you by the multitude of your iniquities. Notice the wording here. Iniquities, unrighteousness, evil. In the unrighteousness of your trade, you profaned your sanctuaries. Therefore, I have brought fire from the midst of you. It has consumed you, and I have turned you to ashes on the earth in the eyes of all who see you. All who know you among the people are appalled at you. You have become terrified, and you will cease to be forever. Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. Read all the theologians. These are somewhat of the description of the fall of the angels. If you could say, there was good and there was evil. So, now let's go back to the passage. This is now Genesis 3, known as what we call the fall of man. Now the serpent was more crafty than any field of the beast which the Lord God had made. Now, there's a verse I want to read to you. I didn't give to Mel, but, you know, verses come to my mind. Listen to me here. Listen to this. Revelation 12, verse 7. Just listen. You don't have to turn. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. The dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough. And there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who was called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and the angels were thrown down with him. That is a description of what I just talked about in Isaiah and Ezekiel. This serpent of old, which is identified in the garden, the devil, was this one cast out. So you follow with me? This is not just some, this is the one that was Lucifer. This is the devil. This is the old snake, Satan himself. And he comes to the woman, and he said, "Has God said you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?" That's a true statement. The woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the tree of the garden we may eat." Yes, that's a true statement. "But from the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the middle of the garden, God said, you shall not eat from it or touch it or you will die." So that's a true statement. Although people make, my wife did, you know, it says, God didn't say you can't touch it. Okay, so she's almost saying, and how did she learn this? You know how she learned this? From Adam. Adam told Eve, "Listen, you know what's best, honey? Don't even touch it. Don't even touch it." Now, God didn't say not to touch it, but that's has nothing to do with the issue here. Forget about whether you touch it. She could have touched it, but let's just be safe. Let's put a barrier. Don't even touch it. Okay, that's true. You shall not eat from it. Touch it, or you will die. That's a true statement. The serpent said to the woman, "You surely will not die. You won't die." He's saying, follow with me, the consequences is a lie. There are no consequences. God says there was consequences. There's no consequences. You surely will not die. Remember what the devil is called? He was a liar from the beginning. You know who said those words? Jesus. The minute he opened his mouth, it was a lie. There are no consequences, Eve. There are no consequences. He said, don't do this. But in the day you eat, will die. No. You will not die. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now that is a half-truth. There's a lot of truth in that statement. God does know that in the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be opened. You will not be God. Notice, you will be like God, and you will now know good and evil. At this point, all they knew what was good. God gave them all the things that were good. So God is actually lying to you with consequences because he's hiding something from you. He's hiding something from you. God knows that if you do this, you'll be like God, not God, like God, and you will know good and evil. So what does Eve do? When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that with the light to the eyes and the tree was desirable to make one wise. Many people say that these relate to the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. She saw it was desirable, good for food. That's the lust of the flesh. It was the light to the eyes, the lust of the eyes, and it was desire to make one wise. It was the pride of life. But the problem is there was no lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life here. They were innocent. So I don't buy that. I don't buy that. What she did was that she reinterpreted what God said. God said, don't eat it, because in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. And she now reprocesses it to say, well, maybe it is something I can enjoy to eat. And maybe it is something that's very pretty. And maybe there is something that I can know something from it. She took from the fruit and ate, and she gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. The fall of man. The disobedience of God's command, the fall of man. And what happens? Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. Something happened. What happened? Notice it says, the eyes of them were opened, and they knew they were naked. Now, look what happens in Genesis 2. And the man and the woman were both naked, and they were not ashamed. Suddenly, they were ashamed. They were naked and not ashamed. Now, suddenly, their eyes were open, and he says, they felt shame. And what they did was that they tried to hide their shame by making fig leaves to cover themselves. Follow with me? So now we begin the consequences. The consequences. What happened? They heard the sound of God walking in the garden of the cool of the day, and the man and the wife hid themselves. Are you kidding me? Here was God walking with them and fellowshipping with them, and now they ran away from God. What happened? What happened that suddenly they had no shame, and now they had shame, and now they hear God, and they're running away from him? In fact, the minute they heard the word of the Lord God, or the sound of the Lord God, Adam should have run to God and prostrated himself and said, "Oh my God, I have done your command. I have destroyed. I have sinned. I am naked. I am ashamed." If he would have done that, the history of man would have been totally different. But he didn't. He ran away. He hid himself. Imagine God, who blessed him and gave him all this, and the wife, he wouldn't be alone, and all the nature. He hid himself from the presence of God among the trees of the garden. Read on. "And the Lord God called the man and said to him, 'Where are you?'" You know, that's very, I always quote this. In the Hebrew, it's not "where are you?" It's "why are you where you are?" Why are you where you are? Why are you hiding? And why did God say that? To give him an opportunity to repent. Come to me. Why are you hiding away from me and not willing to come and tell me what you did? Why are you where you are? And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden. I was afraid." I was afraid. Are you kidding me? He never knew fear. Imagine, the lions were there. The animals were there. The snakes were there. No fear. No fear. The cobra. The night, it gets dark. No fear. What happened? Something happened. He was not ashamed. Now he's ashamed. He hears God. He runs away from God. He has no fear. Now he was afraid. "Because I was naked and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked?" You know why God says this to him? So he would repent. God knew what he had done. God knew where he was. God knew it all together. "Who told you you were naked? Why do you think you're naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat? Repent. Repent." Here he's in complete fellowship with God, and now he's building a gigantic wall between him and God. Read on. "The man said, 'The woman who you gave to me,'" this was the ultimate, "'you're to blame. It's you. You gave me this woman.'" I mean, this is, I know it sounds funny. This is bad. And I'm going to tell you, this is the answer to the why. Follow with me. You want to know why there's cancer in the world? You want to know why there's murder? You know why people in the 21st century are beheading people in Iraq and Iran? You know why people died in the Second World War? You want to go to sea graves? You want to go into another world? Go with Pastor Sam to a nursing home. Spend 20 minutes with me in a nursing home, and you're going to be in zombie land. You have no idea what is outside your life until you go to see suffering. I'm not calling there zombies, but I've been hundreds of hours. I used to come home from visiting people in my church for 30 years in nursing homes, and I felt I was in another world. Another world. You want to see why people commit suicide? I'm going to tell you why. It's your fault. You gave me this woman. She gave to me, and I ate. The Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done? Repent!" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." That's true. He did deceive her. Just the way he tried to deceive God. And God cast them down. And then now you have the consequences. Now follow with me. "Because you have done this, serpent, cursed are you more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you will go, dust you will eat all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed." There's going to be a war, a war, a war. It's a prophecy about Christ. "The seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent." Between the devil and Christ. He will bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. To the woman you said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. I've seen women who had took 24 hours to give birth, and they were pretty ticked off at God. Pretty ticked off at God. I'm going to greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children. Yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. And to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of the wife, you have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Your car is going to break down. Your house is going to break down. You're going to break down. The earth is going to break down. The earth is cursed because of you. All you're going to have is one problem after another, after another, after another, after another, after another, and 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 another, 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 another. The world is cursed because of you. The creation is cursed. Both thorns and thistles it shall grow for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat till you return to dust, because from it you were taken, and you are dust, and the dust returned. You're going to die. You're going to die. You are taken from the dirt, and you're going to end up as the dirt. Nothing. The consequences. So, this is the answer. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded man, saying, from the tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for the day that you eat shall, you shall surely die. I'm going to tell you the why. God says to everybody in this room, everybody that's ever lived since Adam, everybody that will ever live, you want to know evil? I'm going to show you. You want to know what evil is? I'm going to show you what evil is. And for your sake, I didn't want you to know evil. I wanted to spare you. But you made the decision that you wanted to know evil. And the history of all the wise in the world is God saying, I'm showing you what you asked for. You want to know what's evil? Cancer. Live with it. You want to know evil? Your son will die in a car crash. Live with it. You wanted to know evil. You wanted to know evil. You and me and Adam and Eve. That's the reason to every why. God is only showing us what we wanted to see and we wanted to know. So let's go on. Let's look back at these verses. The eyes of them were both open, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves. Something happened. You know what happened? Shame is evil. Shame. You know, I looked up a statistic this morning. You know where shame is very prevalent? In Asian countries. You do not shame your family in Asia. You know how many people, there's 100 million people in Japan. You know how many murders there were in Japan last year? How many murders? People shot somebody or killed somebody. 921. That happens sometimes in 5 days in Chicago. You know, I mean, I think there were over 16,000 murders in the United States last year. 921. You know how many suicides there were in Japan? 32,311 suicides. You know why? Because shame is evil. And I'm going to show you what shame produces. Suicide. You know, we have all this about the Harvey Weinstein and all these people with immorality and things. None of these people will change. You understand? Nothing is going to change, you understand? Because they only got caught in what they were doing. They are perpetrators, as we are, of evil. And they were just caught. They were caught. They were ashamed. These people are ashamed because they were caught. You know how you know if you're really ashamed? You confess it before you're caught. You do something about it before someone knows about it. That's what repentance is that they did not do. Shame. If I knew, if you knew, let me tell you something. If you knew my mental pattern in the last 48 hours, you would consider me the chief of sinners. If you knew what I thought, immorality, hate, anger, but I could hide it. But if you knew it, I'd be pretty ashamed. Imagine if we could mentally read everybody's thoughts. We'd be all killing each other. Shame. Shame. People are ashamed. If you knew me like I knew me, you wouldn't be here talking to me. But wait, if I knew you like you know you, I wouldn't want to be talking to you either. But let me, shame. See, all that's about in Hollywood, it's they're ashamed because they're caught. They're ashamed. That's what happened. Shame is evil. It makes people kill themselves. Let's read on. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day, and they hid themselves from God. People have been running away. I've always said this. The human heart left to itself will always gravitate away from God. Because God is showing you, you want to know evil? I'll show you evil. We hide ourselves. Here is God who is the answer, who is the all-knowing, the all-comforting, the eternal forgiver, and yet we run away from him. If we could kill God, we'd kill God. So people write a book, God is dead, Nietzsche. How many times we hide from God? That's bad. That's what hell is going to be, by the way. Hell is the absence of God. Right now, nobody's in hell because God is in this world. We're still in his moral universe. But hell is going to be the complete absence of God. That's going to be hell. Let's read on. Then the Lord God called the man and said to him, where are you? No repentance, no admitting. I heard the sound of you and I was afraid. Every fear. My wife hates spiders. No, I'm not saying this to be funny. I had the fear of flying for many, many decades. I used to ooze an odor, she used to say, it's not funny. It's not funny. Every fear you have is evil. God is showing you. You don't want to know fear. You don't want to know fear. Any fear, any phobia that you have, people get in an airplane, you're paralyzed, that's evil. See, I'm showing you what results in your life. You can't enjoy life, you're paralyzed by life. You have, in that instance, think of every fear. Think of all the people in mental health issues, mental hospitals. Think of all the money in counseling. For people to get over this, and over this, and over this, and over this. I'm telling you, why? Because God is showing to us what we wanted to see. That's why people have fear. That's why people run away from God, and that's why people have shame. And every evil, everything in the world, that's why people are beheaded. That's why there's anger, why there's jealousy, why there's lies. Can you imagine? Look how much lying there is in the world today. And think, I'm going to tell you something. You and I don't hear but 2% of all the lies that really are perpetrated by mankind. We come from the womb speaking lies. Why did that happen? Because God's saying, I wanted to keep you from it, and you want to see it. And I'm showing you what you wanted to see. every fear, God saying, you wanted to see it, you got it. Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you? And again, there's no repentance, nothing at all of consequences. The woman that you gave to me, we're always the victim, right? I didn't do it. It's not my fault. You see what I'm saying? You see how terrible people live in a state of despondency. People live in depression. People live with no hope. People live and take drugs. You know why? I'm only showing you what you wanted to see. That's evil. And that's the only way you can cope with evil. The woman that you gave to me, you're the be at fault. You're at fault. I hate you, God. Why did you do this? Why did you take my 14-year-old son? Why did my son-in-law die in the car crash? I remember hearing a pastor that had such tragedy that he literally took his hand and broke it between a concrete wall in his garage. He was so angry, God. He was a pastor for 20, 30 years in the Evangelical Free Church. He hated God. He hated God. That's what he kept saying to himself. I hate you, God. I hate you, God. I hate you, God. I hate you, God. I wish I could find you and kill you. Look at Job. You know what Job said? Cursed is the day I was born. I wish I never was born. I wish I never had this. I wish I would. And he asked, why? Why is this happening to me? Job, you made a decision. You wanted to know me. I'm just showing it to you. The woman that you gave to me. The Lord God said, what is this you have done? The serpent deceived me and I ate. No repentance, no admission, lies after lies after lies after hiding after hiding. And then the last thing is, of course, let me just say this. The day you will eat of it, you will die. To dust you are. You know how many ways there are that a human being can die? This is a fact. There are 12,000 diseases and scenarios that will bring death to a human being. 12,000. 12,000. You're going to die? I'm going to die. And you wanted to know it. You wanted to see evil. You walk in a hospital, and God's saying, I wanted to keep this from you, but you wanted to see it. I'm showing it to you. Death. Nobody dies in strength. Nobody dies in victory except in Jesus, right? Think of all the agony. Think of it. Think of all the people in all the hospitals in Phoenix, Arizona. Think of emaciated bodies. Think of the concentration camps. Think of what people have done to people. Think of how people have come to their end. And God's saying, why is this happening? I'm only showing it to you because you wanted to see. Now there is a truth in the Bible that theologians have talked about called that Adam was our seminal head. Seminal is where we get the word seed, sperm, or seed. And that, you know, in Adam, when Adam sinned, we sinned. No, the reason we are born sinners was because Adam sinned. I was not in the garden. Oh, but you were in Adam. You understand? This is the theology of what's called our seminal head in being in Adam. There's some verses to do with that. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered in the world, and death and sin spread to all men. You see? One man sinned, and it entered the world, and as a result, death, through that sin, spread to all men, because all have sinned. Well, I wasn't in the garden. Yes, you were. Yes, you were. You were in Adam, the seminal head. Read on. The gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression resulting in condemnation. Notice, I'm only emphasizing the middle part here, that the judgment arose from one transgression. Adam and Eve's one transgression resulted in the condemnation. We're all condemned. We're all sinners because of the one. Let's read on, verse 17. For by the transgression of the one, death reigned through the one. Notice again. The transgression of the one, death now rules in the world to all men. All died, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Verse 18. For then as through one transgression there resulted in condemnation to all men. See, one man sinned, everybody's condemned. The seminal head of Christ. Read on. For as through the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. You see, one man disobeyed, everybody was made a sinner. In fact, you go to Genesis chapter 5, look at this. This is the written account of Adam's family line. When God created mankind, he made him in the likeness of God. That's true. He created them male and female and blessed them. That's true. He called them mankind when they were created. That's true. When Adam lived 130 years, he had a son in his own image, in his likeness, not God's likeness. The likeness of fallen man. The likeness of man who now wants to be shown evil. Now, the point I'm saying by this is this. You realize the whole teaching of the New Testament is that we were crucified with Christ. Thank God for that. We were buried with Christ. See, there's the first Adam, there's the last Adam. We were raised with Christ. You see this teaching? We will reign in Christ. We have risen with Christ. All that with Christ is the same with Adam. Adam sinned, we sin with him. Adam decided to know evil, we with him decided to know evil. You see what I'm saying? You made the decision with Adam to know evil. That's why everything happens in your life. You want to see evil. And you made that decision. You made that decision. If you take that away, that I'm not in Christ and crucified with Christ and buried with Christ and raised with Christ, then you have to take that away. Paul says the same logic. What happened to us there is what miraculously happens to us now with the new Adam, the true Adam. So the bottom line, my friend, is this. God says, I don't want to show you evil. You don't want to know evil. But we made a decision that we want to know evil. And God is saying, I want to show you. You want to show it's evil? I will show you evil. Now, lastly, I'll be done. Great verses. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So here, the answer is, of course, Jesus Christ. But notice, here is this, to believe in him. To follow him. God so loved the world. Look how terrible the world is. You're telling me there's a God? God so loved the world, he gave his son. Ah, look at the results. God did not send his son in the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only son. Every person is condemned because we've been condemned from Adam. Every person is doomed to hell. Every person is condemned because of the evil that we want to see. And we become agents of. We have now become the agent, the messenger of evil. So, if you don't believe, you're condemned already. And here is some of the most saddest verses in the entire Bible. This is the verdict that light has come into the world, and men, people, love, 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 you want to see how evil is? Men love instead of the light, because their deeds were, notice, their deeds were evil. And I didn't give Mel the next verse, which I want to read to you. The next verse says this, listen very carefully. The next verse, verse 20 says this, for everyone who does evil, hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that their deeds should be exposed. That's why we don't come to the light, because there's too much evil and we don't want to confess it, just like Adam and Eve. And isn't it interesting that the Lord's Prayer says this, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Isn't that interesting? We're agents of evil. We live in a world that's evil. That's why everything is the way it is, my friend. That's why everything is the way it is. We made the decision to want to see evil, and God says, I'm going to show it to you. And Jesus says, you know what you should pray every day? Do everything you can to ask God to protect you from it. Pray you don't get cancer, but you may. One out of three. Pray you don't have a car accident. You may. Pray that your son doesn't get addicted to drugs. It may. Deliver me from evil, Lord. Deliver me from evil. Now, the last thing is a little hope. More than a little hope. How's that? Okay? You with me? Notice this. Then the eyes of them were both opened. They knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin covering. They tried to cover themselves with fig leaves. They were naked. They were ashamed. But God did something better. Look at Genesis 3. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. God sacrificed an animal. God did something that we couldn't do. He took away their loincloths and he gave them the first sacrifice for the forgiveness. Even though they didn't confess it, even though they didn't ask for it, God did it. God sent us his son. God brought salvation. God brought forgiveness. God, when we were enemies, God sent his son. Hallelujah. Amen. He made a garment of skin so that now they would be at peace with God. The consequences? You live with the consequences. But I'm greater than those consequences. Let's read on. Look at this now. For a while we were still helpless. At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one would hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, when we were still agents of evil, Christ died for us. Read on. How much more, having now been justified by his blood, shall we be saved from the wrath of God through him? For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more being reconciled shall be saved through his life. Now look at these verses. For not only this, but we exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Read. But the free gift is not like the transgression. For if the transgression of the one, the many died, remember I emphasized that? Much more did the grace of God and the gift of God of the one man, Christ Jesus, abound to many. You wanted to see evil, but God sent us Christ to deliver us from evil, ultimately. Notice, this is the answer that I'm talking about. I don't know before all the answer to the why. Why is there transgression? Now I see that. But even if you don't know the why, God did something much more. Notice, much more than the sin of Adam. The transgressor, the one many died, much more God did. He took care of that. Read on. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression resulting in commendation, but on the other hand, the free gift arose from many transgressions resulting in the justification. No matter how many times you sin, I have a Savior that paid for all of those sins. How much more there is the free gift arose. For if by the one transgression death reigned through all, how much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. There's death. I know about eternal life. Notice the abundance of the gift of, even though through the one act righteousness there arose a result of justification of life to all men,
For as through the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one the many were made righteous. We were sinners, now we're made righteous. We wanted to see evil. God says, you live with the consequences, but I will deliver you from it. You have death. I'm going to give you eternal life through my son, Jesus Christ. This is one of the greatest passages in the whole Bible, Romans 5. This happened, but God did this. This happened, God did more. He did this, he did this. Almost done. The law came in so that the transgression would increase. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Thank God. Hallelujah. Oh, where sin increased, grace abounded more than your sins. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace will reign through righteousness to eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, I humbly submit that to you. We are living with the consequences of the decision that each one of us has made, which was, I want to know evil. God says, I will show you evil. But thanks be to Jesus Christ, who will deliver us from all evil and bring us to the place that it was originally done. No fear, no death, wipe away every tear, no mourning, no sorrow. Imagine that. Imagine it. That's the world without evil. That's great. Father, thank you for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. I humbly submit this to your people, and I pray, Lord, that if there's anything I've said that is an error, I pray you forgive me. And I pray, Lord, that you would guide us into your word and your truth, that we may better see and appreciate all that you've done for us in Jesus Christ. What have you done for us in Jesus Christ? Thank you for him. Thank you for him. So, Lord, I pray you bless your people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit until Jesus comes again, as he surely will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Thank you.